Today's shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Samach Tes Amud Beis, and we begin with Seif Gimel in Simen Mem on the bottom of Samach Tes Amud Aleph. And the Mechaber begins, Afilu lohaniach bechli toch kli, also lanichum tachas mar gilosov. We're talking here about the requirement not to treat the tefillin in a denigrating fashion by leaving them in a place or a position that would be denigrating to them. So if a person is sleeping in bed, it's not proper to put them underneath your feet, even if they're within the kli toch kli, a covering within another covering that we talked about in yesterday's shir. And likewise, v'chein osur lanichem tachas merash sov, you shouldn't put them underneath your head, kineged rosh, by your head. Afilu b'chli toch kli, also, if it's in a covering within a covering, it's still not covered to lie directly on top of them, either by your feet or by your head. Indeed, that's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah says in Sifkat and Tes, Shu gam kein derech bizoyun, even underneath the head, while the head is more elevated and lofty than the feet, it's still improper to leave it underneath your head or underneath your feet. The Mechaber continues and says, this is true, afilu ein ish doimo, even if your wife is not with you at the time, so there's no likelihood that you'll have tashmish with your wife, you'll have relations with your wife in the bed, it's still not proper to have the tefillin underneath your body. However, avo shalo kineged rosho, if it's not directly underneath your head, but it's near your head, im ein ish doimo, if your wife is not there with you, mutter, this is permissible. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yud writes, Afilu shelo b'chli klal. This is true, that it can be near your head. It's not called disparaging to the tefillin if it's near your head, even if it's not covered up at all. Rak sheminichon b'inyon shelo yizkagul mishol mitzdodim. But you have to be careful that it won't roll and then somehow it would be covered up with your body or roll off the bed. Kigon sheminichon b'in kar hatachton l'kar shetachas rosho, shelo keneged rosho. So put it in between, like a cleft between one pillow and another pillow, so it can't roll off the bed and you can't roll onto it. But the Mechaber says, "V'mishto imo tzorach kli b'toch kli." If your wife is there with you in the bed, so then it must be in a cover with inside another cover. Even if it's not underneath you, it has to be even on the side of your bed, next to you. But if your wife is there, it must be within a kli b'toch kli. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Yud Aleph explains, "Da'inu sheminichem b'toch kli o kitzam yuchad lehen tachas akar." So you have it like in a tefillin zekel underneath the pillow that's next to you. The hakar mikri kli sheni, that the pillow, it's covering up the tefillin inside the zekel, is considered a kli b'toch kli. Or even, oshenichim kli b'kli b'li kli klal, tachash nekor. It doesn't even have to be in the tefillin zekel. You could put it underneath the pillow and then underneath another pillow on top of it. That would also be adequate. V'lo hitiru chachom l'anich tefillin tachas mirashosav. And the rabbis didn't permit you to put the tefillin underneath your head. Kishdishto imo afilu b'kli toch kli. Even when it's in a kli, and in another kli, it's not permissible when your wife is there. Unless there's absolutely no other choice, and this is the only place you can keep it safe from either ganavim or from animals, from mice. If there is another place that you could put the tefillin, then you shouldn't put it in the bed at all. That's not the most ideal place to put the tefillin. It's only when you have absolutely no other choice can you put them in the bed. Well, miyu, the Mishnah Berurah continues. Im yesh lamala mirasho sov, makom yotzi min amito shu gavoa shloshet vochim unomu shloshet vochim lamata mirasho sov, mutar lichon olav. But there's some sort of a cleft or a little outcropping above your head, and that cleft or outcropping there is either more than 3 tvachim or less than 3 tvachim above your head, so it's not directly in line with the bed, so then one could put the tefillin over there for safekeeping. Sif Dalad, the Mechaber writes, Ishto imo b'mito ve'enu rotz l'shamish. If your wife is there in the bed with you, but you have no intention of having relations with her, so then mikre ein ishto imo. Then halachically, we consider that the wife is not there at all, and therefore one can have the same rules that we talked about in Sif Gimel, applicable in this case as well. We consider it halachically if your wife is not there, if you have no intention of having relations with her. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat Yud Beis adds, and he says, the Taz doesn't like this. The Taz oser lios ishto imo b'mita. The Taz says this is not permitted if your wife is there with you in bed, even if you have no intention of having relations. Ad sheyaniach ha'tefillin kli b'soch kli. You must have it a kli inside another kli, because human beings are human beings. Shema yishkach v'yishamish, because you're going to forget and possibly have relations with your wife, even though that wasn't your intention originally. And he says this is the opinion as well. V'chei mashma v'vir ha'gra. The Vilna Gaon holds like this as well. But he says, look into El Yerabba too. The Be'er Hetiv brings down that the Ad Aharon, Soser Harayo Shel HaTaz, he argues with the proofs that the Taz brought to say that it's not permissible and holds that it is permissible as long as you don't have relations with your wife. And in the Bir Halacha, Dibor Amaskel Ishto Imo Bamita Ben Arotzel Eshamesh, he brings down the Sefer Mata Yehuda, Shekosav Dafilu Ladasa Shulchan Aruch, even the Shulchan Aruch who says that it's permissible, he only says that im huskam et lo shlo l'shamish, that's if he's certain that he's not going to have relations. Sfirle de lo chashinun shema yimlach, we're not concerned that it'll change his mind. However, bestoma, he maybe he wasn't thinking specifically of it, but he wasn't thinking not to. So then Lekuliyama Mikri Ishtoimo, and then you have to be concerned, and that's considered definitely Ishtoimo. The Halacha Brura brings down the Chavis Yahu in the Makor Chayim, who also says, that the Chavis Yahu also is able to argue with the Raya that the Taz brings down, but he says, Lahalocha, we should be machmir and only have it in kli betoch kli, even if you have no intention of having relations. However, he brings down other poskim who say mashma the hakol toli betashmish, and that's the opinion of the El Yeraba that the Mishnah Brewer alluded to as well. The Halacha Brewer concludes lani azdati muchach lehedya miloshim sefer eshkol that kol toli betashmish. He says his own opinion based upon the sefer eshkol is that it's all dependent upon having tashmish or not. The chosh eino mishamish mitasu yesh lokel. As long as you don't have tashmish, it would be permissible. And this, he says, is in fact the halacha as well in the Kafa Chaim. Sifhei, the Mechaber writes, La'nicham b'mito kineged sido dinon kitachas margilosov. To keep it in bed with you on your side, not directly under you, but near your side, the halacha is the same as if it's underneath your feet, which is improper. The Mishnah Brewer in Sivkot and Yud Gimel explains, She'pa'amim mishafik b'mito v'yishkav aleim, because it's very normal for people to toss and turn in their sleep, and you're going to roll over, and you're going to roll over on top of the tefillin, which is improper. Then the Mishnah brings down, what about if you have safsolim, shebeves haknesses, a related subject, if you have benches in the shuls, which many shuls have, and underneath them, tachas hasafsolim yesh teba latznia shem talus atzila. There's like a little chest or a little container underneath the chair or the bench where you can put your talus and tefillin for storage. So are you allowed to sit on top of that while the talus and tefillin are in there? Yesh omen da also leishiv ala safsolim, there are those that forbid you to sit on such a bench, the yesh metirin, and there are those that permit it. If there is a space of at least a tefach above the items that you put in there, then you definitely can sit on such benches. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, but a person who's really careful and scrupulous about performing the mitzvahs should be careful in this situation as well and should try not to sit on such a bench if there's an alternative. Why? Because we're especially careful about the kedusha of tefillin, and this is somewhat of a denigration of tefillin, even though you're not directly sitting upon them, and even though there's a space, it's still somewhat disparaging for the tefillin. However, he does point out, im kavo b'masmarim lakosel, if this box underneath you is attached to the wall, mutar leishiv ala safsol, then you can go and sit on the safsol. That's not considered somehow disparaging to the tefillin. The issue footnotes 26 through 28 bring down some other interesting scenarios. He says, im yesh b'teva zu shiro shemakabela sarboim saw, if the chest underneath the chair or the bench is large, it has 40 saw in it, a certain volume, o sheyesh bo gova asar tvachim al rochav abar tvachim, where it's large enough that it's 10 tvachim, about a meter, by about 4 tvachim, about a foot. So then, kasa b'shevel s'chuvas b'nei yona, sholekes rishus liatzmo, this is considered a separate entity, a separate rishus, and then you could definitely sit on the safsol, not a problem. He says, Losheves ala safsal hamuchlok lemoshavim nifrodim. Vefshal lahorim echon mehim beli shasheni. If you're sitting on like a row of chairs and one part can be lifted up without the other part being lifted up as well, each has like a separate area. So then, kishel achad mehem munach sefer. If on one of the bucket seats, so to say, separate seats, there's a sefer, it's not considered like you're sitting on it, according to Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And even though it's a bench, you wouldn't be allowed to sit on it if they're separate, like bucket seats, if they're separate entities. Each seat is a separate area, so then you could sit on one seat, even though there's a sefer on the other seat. This is a halacha that's not very well known, that person shouldn't sit on a bench or a chair or some sort of a sofa if there are svarim on that sofa, chair, or bench. Even if, of course, you're not sitting directly on top of it. In the issue footnote 27, he brings down in regards to if your tefillin are on the ground, but they're on top of something, so you have a kli that is like a tefach above the ground, so then the tefillin aren't considered on the ground. And in the issue footnote number 28, he writes down that to stay on a safe, on a bench or a chair that has a safer Torah on it, the Shulchan Aruch says that that's also in the And Rav Chaim Kanievsky points out that's true even if it's not lying down flat, but it's in a vertical position. The Ramah adds as well, Shehu Adin Emunachem Aleh Shara Sifrei Kodesh, as we just brought down. One should be very careful about not sitting on something that has Svarim on top of it as well. Now the Mechaber in Sif Vav says, Shochach V'shimesh Mitoso B'tfilin. Person in those days used to wear the tefillin all day. The person went to sleep and he didn't realize he was wearing his tefillin and he had relations with his wife. Lo yechos, lo babat, lo beretzuos, ashiyit tol yodav. He now is in the position where he can't have his tefillin on because he may have carry on his body, so he has to take off his tefillin, but he can't touch them with his hands until he washes his hands. And then he can go take off the tefillin from the retzuos, as we'll see in a second, and then clean himself up. Why shouldn't he touch the tefillin? Mipnei sheyadayim askani yosein, because his hands are wandering. V'shema nagu b'makom atinoves, and mistama, his hands touch the place that's unclean, and they may be dirty, and therefore he shouldn't be touching his tefillin or the ritzus, even of the tefillin, until he washes his hands. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yudalev then explains, after he washes his hands, v'achakach yachal tzeim, he should then take off the tefillin, achi kaneach ekeri, until he has a chance to clean himself, as we'll learn in the next Sif Zayin. Siv Zayin, the Mechaber says, Yoshein behem v'ro'a keri. Likewise, if a person was sleeping in his tefillin by accident, he shouldn't be doing this, but he forgot them, and then he noticed when he awoke that he had a seminal emission. Lo yechos b'batim, he again shouldn't touch the batim. What should he do in that situation? Ela yechos b'ritzua, u'meisir osam. He can touch the ritzua and take off the tefillin by the ritzua, and then go wash his hands. As the Ramah says, Ashi kaneach keri miyolov v'yitoyodov. He should then go and clean the keri off from himself, and then he should wash his hands. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Tezvav adds, in this situation, as opposed to when he had tashmish with his wife, lo chayshinon kol kach, we're not as concerned, shema nogo b'mokom etinofes, that his hands touched himself in a place that is unclean, because he didn't actually have relations, he just had a seminal emission. Ulekache kelu, therefore, in this situation, they were lenient to allow him, lechos b'ritzua, to take off the tefillin by holding on to the straps, ulasira, and to take him off the body, kedeshul ulahashos ha-tefillin alatzmo, that he shouldn't have the tefillin on himself, ba'ochu matunof bekeri, while he has a seminal emission on his body, he shouldn't have the tefillin on. So in this situation, they were mako, they didn't have to wash his hands first, but he was able to take off the tefillin by holding on to the ritzuas and removing the tefillin. In Sivkot and Tezayin, the Mishnah Berurah then says, you should then wash your hands. He doesn't have to go to the mikvah. He is allowed to put the tefillin back on as soon as he's cleaned himself off. In Dirshu footnote number 30, he brings down, would such a person be allowed to toss kisvei hakodesh, regular svarim, if his hands have touched places that are dirty on his body? So he brings down from Simin Kuf Mem Zayin, Sheish Lahachmir Shalo Liga Afilu Besvarim Shalonu. One should be ideally careful not to touch svarim if he knows his hands are dirty. However, Bistam Yadayim, if you don't know your hands are dirty, you just haven't washed them recently, Sheini Yadayim Nagom Komus Hamatunafim, you don't know for certain that they touched places that are dirty in your body. Even though we say the hands are wandering, we don't know here for certain. So then Mutu Liga Besvarim Shalonu, one would be allowed to touch Sidorim or Svarim. Avalobisha Kisvia Kodesh Haksu. Them kisei for Torah, but not into a real cloth. You wouldn't be able to touch a Megillah. You wouldn't be able to touch a Navi's that were written on cloth, or certainly a Sefer Torah. And now for the final Sif in Simen Mem, Sif Ches, the Mechaber writes, Hanichnas l'su'udas keva. The person is entering into a meal, a set full meal, and then those days they would wear the tefillin all day. So he would now go to eat supper. That's in the afternoon, in the summer, so it's still plenty of time to wear the tefillin. He wants to sit down, eat lunch or supper. So what should he do? He goes into his set meal, chotzon, he takes off the tefillin, or minichan al shulchan, you put him right by the table, atzman bracha, until you're ready to bench, then you put him back on for benching, v'chozer u'minichan, you put him back on, we'll see, with the bracha, according to almost all poskim. However, that's true only for a real full set meal. Abol achil asarai, you just want to have a snack. So if you're wearing your tefillin all day, so you stomach, you want to have some pretzels or potato chips at some point during the day. So a cookie ain't tzarech lachol, and you don't have to take off your tefillin for this slight snack. For a regular full meal, the rabbi said, go take off your tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot Yitzayin explains, why do we do this for a full meal and not for a snack? Because the yesh lochu shemo yishtake besuda, because with a full meal, your mistama are going to have some wine, and maybe you're going to have a little bit too much and be a little bit tipsy, v'yizgana b'tfilav, and you're going to act in an inappropriate way while you're wearing your tefillin. In Sivkot Yudches, he writes, you should put the tefillin down by the table in order that kidei shiu mezumanim lo lachzor lanichon b'shas bracha. So as soon as you need to put them back on when you bench, they'll be right there. You won't have to start looking for them and wear and be without wearing your tefillin for any period of time. Then the Mechaber said, for a light snack, you don't have to take off your tefillin, but the Mishnah Berurah brings down in Sivkot Yudches, v'sefer Shulchan Shlomo, mistapik, de'efshur de'zeo davko, mishim minichon kol yom. That's only in their times when they would wear their tefillin all day. So what's a person supposed to do? He wants to have a drink of water. He wants to have a sucking candy. He has to take off his tefillin. So maybe in those days, where they wore their tefillin all day, you could have a light snack. But nowadays, avalo, misha darko, lo niach, b'shas kriyashma tefillin. But this may not apply to somebody who's only wearing his tefillin for a very short period of time nowadays. So therefore, this heter of eating a light snack in the tefillin doesn't apply. However, in Dirshu footnote number 31, he brings down from the Chazon Ish, sha'af bizmanenu. Even nowadays, where we don't wear the tefillin all day, a person is allowed to have a achilas aroya, light snack. However, he brings down that Rabbi Yashiv Zatzal was machmir, and he said, somebody who's machmir over here, tavo olav bracha. One shouldn't even have today a light snack while one is wearing the tefillin. In Sipkat and Chaf, the Mishnah Berurah explains what does it mean by a light snack, Aroi. Here in the Shir, Achilas Aroi, Ukabetza. This means about an egg's worth of food. Ukidin Sukkah, Besimim Tafarish Lamates. And this is applicable, the same laws that apply to how much you're allowed to eat outside of a Sukkah, less than a Kabetza is allowed to be eaten outside of a Sukkah. And he says, go look over there, Ayin Shom. In the issue footnote number 32, he goes into this in much greater detail, defining which foods, how much amounts for different foods, whether it's a mizonos or whether it's basar or dogim or gvina, and other types of fruits or things like that, ayin sham in the issue footnote 32. In the Bir Halacha, Tibur HaMaskel, HaNichnos L'Sudas, the Hule Adzman Bracha, he brings down that the Rambam holds that when you put the tefillin back on, you should put them on after you washed Mayim Achronim. And he says the reason for this is mistama taimu kadesh ol yubishem yadayim muzumos, so you shouldn't put on the tefillin with your hands being dirty for the meal. However, the Achronim did not quote this lahalacha, and he suggests that the reason that they didn't quote this lahalacha is because we're going to learn in Siman Kuf Ayin Tes that one shouldn't interrupt between Mayim Achronim and the benching, even with words. One shouldn't do anything in between the washing of the Mayim Achronim and the actual benching. So this would certainly be a hefsek according to that. Indeed, in Dishu footnote 33, he brings down that if you did put on the tefillin and then you wanted to bench, you should really wash your hands a second time so that the Ntilas Yamayim should be somuch right to the benching. And in the Bir Halacha, the Chozer Uminichon, he brings down the Yerushalmi that says, for a Sudas Keba, Kishemisiran, when you take them off for a Sudas Keba, when you put them back on, you have to go and make a bracha. He says this is true according to the Mechaber, and he says it's probably even true according to Ramah, who says if you have to go to the bathroom, you have to take them off. So this is like similar to that, and the rabbis forbid you to wear your tefillin while you're eating, so it's a little bit like if you put them on after you go to the bathroom, that the Ramah says you have to make a bracha, so Mestami here too, he would as well. And therefore he says, Im Kain Hochanami, Kibin the Gazru Chazal Shaloyech Be'ez Hasuda Betvillin, Im Kain Idche Mi Mitzvah Betzarech Ian. He leaves it with a Tzarech Ian, but in Dishu footnote 35 he brings down, Shekivin Ladas Habi Migdoli Achronim Tzarech Luvarech, Hamavarech Lo Hifsid, and he says, especially the Vilna Gaon says, like the Mechaber, Shebechol Mikre Tzarech Lach Zulavarech. That concludes today's shir.